This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Coors Light. Enter the Coors Light Ultimate Home Gate Giveaway, including a Yeti cooler, portable grill, pop-up tent, $200 gift card, and more. Go to the 98.5 The Sports Hub contest page to enter, and then crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Must be 21+. Rules and restrictions apply. Brought to you by Coors Light. Made for football. Made to chill.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right. Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, December 1st. We got Big Jim Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. The rest of us on remote. Myself, Maz, and the big fella, the big boy, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joining us as well. Maz, Greg, how you guys doing?
Good, you?
Good, you.
Oh, Peachy, thank you so much. All right, Greg, you've watched the film. What'd you see? What'd you see on Sunday? Were you impressed? Not impressed? How do you feel?
Overall, I was not, totally impressed. I thought that was a game that the Cardinals should have won. I thought that a combination of their poor play, like Christian Kirk's drop in the end zone before halftime, Kingsbury's decision-making, not taking the field goal after that drop, a variety of things in terms of what his decision-making, and I thought that coming in the game. I picked the Patriots 24-20 coming into this game, mostly because I think that the Cardinals are a undisciplined mess all over the place, and we saw that. They made mistakes on special teams. They made mistakes in coaching, on offense. I thought their defense was pretty good, but I was not impressed, especially with the quarterback. That was that type of quarterback play on Sunday was just not good enough.
Okay.
At all.
Who do you compare him to, Greg? Who's your historical comparison to Cam Newton and the Patriots offense right now?
I heard Maz say it yesterday with the stat that he brought out that this was the lowest passer rating for a winning starting quarterback in the NFL since Mark Sanchez. And on Sunday, Cam Newton was Mark Sanchez. The Patriots were the Jets from the Rex Ryan's Jets. That's who they were on Sunday, getting terrible quarterback play. I mean, we might as well just bring Mike Tannenbaum in to run personnel at this point, because the Patriots right now, the way they're constructed, they are the Jets. They have no quarterback play. They're limited on offense. They have good defense. And that's where they are right now.
Hey, remember, Tannenbaum wanted to give Cam Newton an extension.
Let's not forget that, right?
Go ahead, Murray.
With these recent drafts, it's already been Tannenbaum-esque.
So, Greg, why do you start with the quarterback and not the pieces around him, not the pass catchers, not the play calling, not the offense, et cetera? Why do you start with the quarterback?
Because there were simple plays in this game that he just didn't execute. He couldn't execute. They got to the point where they were literally trying to keep the game away from him as much as possible. And, like, this is not – that's okay if you're – the Jets or the Bears or somebody like that, but this is New England. That it's just not acceptable. And that where the biggest thing for me is, look, I touted bringing in Cam when they didn't have a veteran. I've been on board. I've been patient this whole year. I've made excuses for him as much as anybody with COVID and what have you. But this was week 12, and I don't see anything getting appreciably better. He should be better by now. They should be better by now. Now, I do think the weapons, the lack of, good talent around him is viable, and it's an excuse that you can make. But I'm only willing to go so far with that because there are plays there that they scheme up, that they design to work. Like, for example, the throw to, I think it was Damir Bird in the end zone. And all Cam Newton has to do is throw the ball a little quicker and just lay it out in front of him. And what does he do? He doesn't even come close to hitting him. Like, That is a Mark Sanchez play right there. In years past, we would be giggling and laughing at the Jets and Mark Sanchez for a play like that and be like, oh, well, they're the Jets. That's where the Patriots are right now.
I think Andy, we still are giggling and laughing, actually. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Maz. And again, we're throwing up on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast a little comparison to Mark Sanchez. Feels like Sanchez was a little better, frankly, than Cam Newton in some respects, maybe not in others. But any developing opinions on that, Maz?
Well, so look, to me, now if you look at the three games before this most recent one, his rating was pretty good. But again, they're protecting him. And to me, the big thing is he can't handle any sort of curveball or wrinkle. And Greg, I know you wrote about this, so I know what your answer is, but I'll ask you anyway, because I feel the same way. So I might as well promote and perpetuate my own agenda and cause. Bill won't do it yet. But at what point do you have to try Stidham?
Well, I agree. I mean, with what we saw on Sunday, I got to the point, and now it's increasing every week that other teams know that the Patriots have nothing at quarterback and they have nothing at the skill positions, especially tight end is just freaking killing this team. I mean, it's absolutely killing this team. At the trade deadline, I was pleading with Bill, just go get somebody at tight end to at least give yourselves a chance on offense. But like right now, The Cardinals came out on Sunday and against base personnel, they played a 4-4 defense. They only put three defensive backs on the field. Like, if you're any semblance of a regular passing offense in the NFL, you exploit that. With three wide receivers on the field, the Cardinals answered with base. It's insulting. Like, schematically, it doesn't get any more insulting than that in terms of the other team is basically laughing at what you have on offense, that they're just like, yeah, we're just going to go with 4-4, basically a glorified goal line package. We know you can't beat it. And the Patriots couldn't beat it ever.
Okay, folks, you want to weigh in? Patriots, NFL, here's your chance to do it with Greg Bedard. Jimmy, you may release the hounds, please, if you have them wiped down. It's 617-779-0985. The quarterback thing gave Maz a big picture takeaway. Maz, I can just read it right from your email, or you can say it yourself to set up Greg.
No.
I want his thoughts on it.
You go ahead.
Okay, Maz wrote yesterday that his biggest complaint with the Patriots is that he doesn't feel like they're building anything. Maz says, I don't feel like they're building anything. Not at quarterback, not anywhere. Is that a fair assessment by Maz?
In terms of the quarterback position, certainly. Look, Cam Newton, and the thing is like I'm largely done with Cam, or at least I've seen enough of Cam. I know what he is. He's not going to be appreciably better. What we talked about in for much of the season and the offseason after they signed him was, okay, well, Cam Newton's always been limited as a passer. And really what we've seen this season really isn't out of character with what he's been in other, in Carolina before this. This is who he is as a player. But in Carolina, his legs were a little bit more dangerous. And we thought, okay, well, teams, and I think this is the way the year started, teams said, okay, well, we have to respect Cam and his legs. And that hasn't really come out. So now we're basically back to where Brady was at the end of last season, where he has no weapons around him. They can't get off man coverage. The defense is dictating everything. So, and obviously Jarrett Stidham is not any sort of competition for Cam at this point, because I think we would have seen him at some point, or at least there's been some indication, and there hasn't been. But as far as the team as a whole, I can understand why Maz is saying that. I'm not sure I really believe it, because I think and it's a big leap to say like, all right, well, they need to get a quarterback. Yes, that's a humongous thing to say. I don't think it's as challenging this offseason, with people who will be on the move, whether it's Sam Darnold or other pieces. I think, and plus the ability of rookies to play quicker in the NFL, I don't think it's quite as daunting as it has been. And I'm not off Cam Newton. I'm not off bringing Cam Newton back next year at a certain price for a certain role. So quarterback is one thing. I think they have a great offensive line. Even if Joe Tooney leaves, I think they have a great offensive line. They still are going to have a great secondary, in my opinion. You add a few pieces here and there in the front seven, and also certainly on the outside and at tight end. You do those things with the abundance of cap space that you have, and I think they're going someplace. But, yeah, I mean, look, until they have the quarterback for the next 10 years, they're always going to be behind the eight ball.
So, Greg, look, you know, as you say it, here's where I settle. What positional group do I feel good about for their future? And a quarterback? No. Offensive line, I might give you. Although I will say that I feel like they're sort of in a transition phase right now. And I like Owenu. I like what I see there. I like Andrews as a player. But I, you know, Tooney's going to be gone. I'm still not totally sure on Isaiah Wynn, frankly. So I still feel there's some instability there on the line. Not there's a lot
Come
less
on,
than
Maz. You got to give him the line. Like I mean, like you can't pick nits all over the place. I mean, okay. They have a good offensive line.
All right,
you got to give
fine.
That to them.
All right, I'll give you the offensive line. But I told you, I still feel like there's a little bit of a transition going on there. But what about the rest of it? I don't love
running back,
where they're
yes.
headed. At cornerback, I don't know what they're going to be once Gilmore's gone. So we'll see what goes on there. The safety play, it'll be Duggar next year, and who? I don't know. Linebackers, defensive line, running backs, maybe. I give you, although
yes.
James White's a free agent at the end of the year. Not that that one's all that important. Wide receiver and tight end. Look at them. Across all those personnel groups, and I feel like there are more questions than answers.
Just to jump in. Isn't there some semblance on defense? And I'm not going by positional group, but I'm just, you know, Winovich, Duggar, Uche, Jennings, Jackson. Like, isn't there some semblance there of a shot of a young core going forward?
I think so. I think, look, there's a lot of leaps on a lot of guys that we would take there, but I'll just say this in general.
Is Duggar a leap? You don't think he's got a little something going on?
No. Not Duggar. I'm talking more about Uche and Jennings. We have no idea on those guys.
Okay.
And even Winovich, we don't really have any idea, but, you know, it's promising outside of his flop on the goal line this weekend. But anyways, but I come back to this. Look, it doesn't get any worse than they are right now. Like, they are not good as a team overall. And this is a team that largely is probably a 9-7 team. You get a couple guys who hit, a couple of the younger guys. You bring in a couple guys. You know, maybe you're a couple games better. All of a sudden, you're talking 11-12 wins. So, you know, I don't – this is for the Patriots, this is bad where they are. And they aren't good. They're not good enough. That's why they are now, 7-10 over their last 17 games as a franchise. This is where they are, but I don't think they're that far away from going in the other direction.
Well, see, to me, the quarterback thing's almost separate. You know, the roster's one thing. You can almost treat the quarterback as its own entity, its own island. Bill could have had all these roster problems, and if he had done better at quarterback, they pull out a few of these close games, and they're in the mix to be a playoff team, and, you know, who knows. So, like, that's always a separate thing to me. And the quarterback thing, I think they're at ground zero. I agree with you guys. They've built nothing at that position. They haven't even started to go on the way back up. I don't even know they've even hit the point where they've torn it down. I mean, maybe they have nothing. And when Bill Belichick, though, just real quick before we go to the break, when Bill Belichick comes out and is asked about his quarterback again after the game last week, and he says, well, he threw for 350 yards the week before. What does that say to you, Greg?
I'm laughing because I have a lot on that. So if we want to get to that in the next segment.
So you know what?
I have a few things to say.
That's a
good
big boy tease right there.
All right. There's a big tease from the big boy. We'll get to him and your thoughts on it right after these words.
Duggar and Maz. For sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
So you're a business that's thriving. But then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo! Boo.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I got to ask, I know you guys won, but the offense, I think objectively, didn't play very well today. Only 179 yards. Camden, he threw for under 100 yards. Would you consider going to Jared Stidham at some point, or is Cam still firmly your quarterback?
Yeah, we're just going to keep working to get better. We threw for 350 last week. So, you know, the most important thing is we made the plays we need to make to win. And, you know, that's what the goal will be every week.
Okay. They're the comments we were talking about. Greg, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so these are my thoughts. First of all, passing yards. What year is this? 1985? Like, what, you know, what are we talking about? There's like 6 to 10 guys throw for over 300 yards every week. Like, it's not relevant. I thought that stats are for losers. So now we're talking about stats. I thought the only thing that matters are wins. Cam threw for 365 yards in a loss that basically took you out of playoff contention. And now we're touting his performance in that game. I never thought that I would see the day that Belichick does that. Brady averaged 247.6 yards per game last year. Cam's averaging 197.4 this year. You know, 50 yards, basically. So is Cam a lot worse than Tom if we're going on yards? How many years did we ask about the yards given up by the defense, by his defense? And what did we always hear?
Points. Yeah, it's points, not yards.
It's all about points. You know how many points the Patriots averaged this year on offense?
Not
20.8. That's 27th in the league, behind ahead of only Jacksonville, Chicago, the Giants, the Broncos, and the Jets. Ooh. I mean, if Bill Saul suddenly now a big stats guy, let's talk about stats. Let's talk about that 193 of Newton's yards in that Texans game. 52.9 came after the catch. That of his 172 completed air yards, 25% came on that one touchdown to Demir Byrd that wasn't actually even thrown properly by Cam Newton. You know, or look, we could talk about how his completed air yards are going down like every game per completletion. I mean, just so I guess now we could talk about stats all the time. But now what? Bill's cherry-picking his stats. Cam Newton's a really good quarterback because he threw for 365. Okay.
Excuse me if I missed it. Did you even mention the Hail Mary at the end of the game?
Oh, God, I forgot that.
I mean, that's a good way to get to 300 yards, is to complete a 50-yard, you know, deflected ball with no time on the clock that you threw 10 yards short of the end zone because you couldn't figure out where the line of scrimmage was. So it is, you know, once again, the Bill Belichick excuse generator remains in full effect, Maz, even for his quarterback.
Well, I got one more stat I wanted to give Bill, if he's listening. So Newton's expected completion percentage, according to NFL Next Gen stats, was 62.7%. He completed 50%. So his differential there was minus 12.7. There's only one quarterback who has been worse in a single game over the last month, and that's Jake Luton twice for the Jaguars, and he got benched for Mike Glennon. At least Luton has the excuse that he's a six-round rookie. It's week 12. What's Cam Newton's excuse?
Yeah, I just think that the comment about the yards, to me, this is classic Belichick. You know, Bill changes, he moves the goalposts and changes the rules to suit his argument at that particular point in time. So when the Patriots are a championship caliber team, yards don't mean jack. When the Patriots suck, all of a sudden now 350 yards from his quarterback means something. So look, this is, dare I say that in the world of debating, if we're talking about it and debating it, dare I say that moving the goalposts is cheating? Like, that's what it is. He cheats in the discussion. He can't even bring himself to play on level ground in the discussion because he's got to win that one too. That one is so disingenuous to me. I completely throw that one out. I look at him and say, you can't be serious. Not after all these years and all the alleged lessons about points, not yards, plastic yards. What do they really mean? It's about points. Then he tells us the quarterback throws for 350. I mean, the fraud factor on a comment like that is through the roof.
Okay. In fairness, he was asked about Newton throwing for under 100 in that game. So he was asked about a yardage question. He answered with the yardage question. That's just in the interest of fairness, which we generally don't, you know, bring up. But I thought I would there. Before we go to the phones with you, as promised, Anthony in Nebraska. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, has Cam lived up to his veteran minimum salary? And if you were to bring him back, what would you pay him for next year?
I wouldn't bring him back. Greg, you said the last segment there's still a role for him perhaps. What role would that be?
Number one, I would still give Cam Newton what I talked about earlier in the season. Even now, just because It was more about what he was going to be asked to do for this team, which he has done. I mean, it's just, it's embarrassing that they're paying $1 million. And the thing is, I think because Bill hasn't given him any more money, he's painting himself in a corner, and this is part of the reason why Cam's not going to go to the bench anytime soon, is because Bill is already guilty. He's mentioned it, Cam's contract. Like, well, look, we didn't have any money. Look at what we pay. Look at the Newton contract. Like, he already feels guilt about that. He knows how bad that looks, not only to Newton, but the rest of the team, and that he didn't give him any more money. Now he can't doubly embarrass Cam by sending him to the bench, even though he stunk up the joint the other night. He couldn't do that. So Bill's painted himself into a corner about the contract. As far as next year, look, Cam Newton, is his leadership behind the scenes is off the charts, okay? He's not on balance for the season. He hasn't been god-awful. And I'm just talking about, like, I don't know what their plans are for next year. Obviously, they're going to swing higher on the quarterback scale. They're going to try. But who knows what they're going to end up with. And if you end up with, say, I don't know, Sam Darnold, and you need a veteran backup or what have you, like, I'm just, I don't know what role it is, but Cam Newton as a veteran presence, maybe in a, especially in a competitive situation, if that's what they end up with next year, I'm not afraid of that. I would be open to that. I'm not saying that's what I want. I'm just saying I would be open to it.
Okay, I wouldn't. Marcus in Nashua. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, you know, looking at the Patriots and stuff at 5-6 right now, you got, if they were in the NFC East, they would be in first place. So, I mean, that's something you can look at that's positive. Hey, no. It's positive. But,
No.
I mean,
they play completely different schedules.
Well, the whole thing is, this is a product of winning. I mean, if you look at their roster up and down the board, I mean, this isn't a Cam Newton guy that came out of Auburn with the Carolina. You're looking at a guy that's, you know, been in the league 10 years. He had a bad wing. I mean, the offense, other than James White, do you think half of these guys that are on the Patriots offense would start on some of these other teams? I mean, honestly.
So I'm not sure what your point is, Marcus.
Well, I just think that, you know, for what they're at 5-6 right now, you know, I mean, I think you guys are a little hard on these guys than what you should be. I mean,
they have a losing record. I'm not going to be nice to a team that has a losing record. Sorry.
Come on, guys. Let's celebrate crap.
I mean, come on. I thought you were joking about the NFC East thing. Like, so you were serious about that.
Of course he was.
Give me a break. I mean, they've blown a bunch of games. They should have won a couple more games, and they should be in the playoffs. There's no excuse for a coach this good and an ownership that tells me they're as smart as they are and they have all the answers and all this stuff for you to be 5-6 and out of the playoffs, especially after they've expanded the playoffs. I don't give a break for a team like that. No freaking way. No way. So I don't know if you guys got an answer on that.
Well, so what I would tell you, Mike, is if we're going to talk about the NFC East, which is laughable, like that's what we're going to use as the standard now, great. You're the first place team in the worst division in football, maybe in the worst division the NFL has seen in God knows how many years. Really horrible. So, and before you start thinking they could win the AFC East, they barely beat the Jets. Barely. So let's not get too eager to jump into the NFC East.
I'd be more than happy to give them a break at even 6-5. Swing one more game. Be a winning team. Be a contending team. Be a team that's in that playoff structure or just, you know, just a little bit outside of it. I'm fine with that. You got to reset every once in a while. I'm fair. I mean, I'm allowing for some, but it was just a couple weeks ago. They were what? 3-6, whatever it was, and they were closer to the bottom than the top. That's not acceptable. I'm sorry. Now they're fighting their way out of it, and I'm glad they are. But please, we're being too hard on them. I think I've given them too much of a break, frankly. Ivan in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Ivan.
Hey, guys. I was watching the Thanksgiving game the Washington game, and Alex Smith was impressing the heck out of me. And how do you guys feel about bringing in Alex Smith, even though he has had the broken leg and all? I'd like to
Him
in there.
Well, Ivan, let me just stop. Maz and I have talked positively about him. I would like Alex Smith. Greg, what do you think?
For next year? After going through this year?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Why?
Alex Smith? Are you kidding me? Like,
he's better than Cam Newton.
From Cam Newton to Alex Smith, like that's your progress at the quarterback position?
Yep. It is. It is progress.
Holy cow!
You go from bottom of the league to at least average,
as opposed to what? Cam Newton to Cam Newton?
Like, what, you're saying Cam Newton hasn't been average this year? He wasn't last week, but you're saying he hasn't been average this year?
He hasn't been average since the first month of the season, Greg. He's been well below average since the first month of the season.
Greg, they rank in the bottom five in the league in passer rating.
Yeah, and what, outside of the offensive line, what players, what receivers and tight ends would start anywhere?
Oh, come on, but you've been over this. You've seen the film. Guys are open. He's not finding him. He can't see him. He can't.
That was earlier in the season, not this past week. Not this past week.
Oh, I saw some. I saw some open guys on a couple of those sacks that he just couldn't pull the trigger on.
Man, a couple here and there, Mike. But you're saying they can't. This offense would be good with anybody else at quarterback. How were they last year with Brady? How'd they finish last year?
Average. That's all I'm looking for is average. Can you give me average? He's been
below average.
Let's
go from Brady was average last year. Cam Newton's below average this year. Let's go to average next year with Alex Smith. I thought you're Mr. Quarterback. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Alex Smith next year. I am allowing them to, you know, take a step back to average. I'm not allowing them to take a step back to the bottom of the league. I don't know why you're getting all hot and bothered there, big fella. You started off the show talking about quarterback play and Mark Sanchez. So I don't get where you're coming from now.
I'm talking about this year, where they are right now, evaluating where they are. That's where they are. You're Mr. I want the next guy. I need it for the next 10 years. I'd rather do this to be the next 10 years. And next year, your solution for the Patriots at quarterback is Alex freaking Smith? What's wrong with you?
Greg, he advocated for Brian Hoyer. Why are you surprised by this?
I advocated for Eli Manning, too. But he's not the guy. He's the bridge guy. I'm also drafting a guy, Greg. I'm drafting a guy or trading for a young guy. You know, Darnold, fine. I mean, I don't love him, but if they do, fine. You know, there's a veteran placeholder and then the kid you draft. And Alex Smith is my placeholder. If Cam Newton were average or slightly above average, I'd say, fine, stick with him as the placeholder. He's been well below average for over a month, and it feels like the arrow's going down. He's not getting any better. So, yes, Alex Smith is a substantial upgrade over Cam, at least the old Alex Smith. I don't know, you know, if he can maintain it with half a leg or whatever, but the old Alex Smith is a pretty big upgrade over Cam Newton. I'm sorry, he is.
I'd like to take back something
this
before
discussion. Go ahead.
No, I go.
I was just going to say, this discussion is as stupid as the opinion you just stated, and I'm done with it.
Well, boy, for a guy who started off the show saying their current quarterback play is Mark Sanchez, to get all hot and bothered for me saying Alex Smith, that is, did you take some sort of, like, did you drop acid in the last 20 minutes? You started off talking about this is Mark Sanchez, this is the worst quarterback play you've ever seen. I'm just trying to bring you back to average, big fella. Again, I don't know who twisted your beard. Is it snack time over there? Are you, like, are you hangry or something? What's going on?
No. I'm just not spouting idiotic opinions like you just did. Alex Smith, that's your solution for next year.
No, but yours is Mark Sanchez.
I would like to take something back that I said. I said the Patriots were the bottom five in the league in passer rating. I was incorrect. They're bottom four. I was wrong on that one. That was a misstatement on my part.
Boy, for a guy who said their current quarterback play is Mark Sanchez to suggest Alex Smith and to get that reaction. Wow. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's do
what does Mark Sanchez in this year have anything to do with the Patriots next year actually going forward and being good at the quarterback position?
Yeah, Alex Smith is
what does one opinion have to do with the other?
Because you're saying that their quarterback play is historically atrocious. So to get another guy that brings you back to average feels to me like progress.
I said on Sunday. Last Sunday, this last game, the Patriots were the Jets. That's who they were. I didn't say anything about this season. I didn't say anything about next season. Next season. And if your grand plan for the Patriots to be relevant and to be in the news is Alex Smith, like, I don't know what we're doing here.
I thought Alex Smith was okay. Maz, hold that thought. We'll do it. We'll follow up with 3-Up, 3-Down as well after Big Jim Murray's update.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for 3-Up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And 3-Down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on 3rd and 4. I'd rather run him on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3-Up.
And the Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl title.
3-Down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, let's go over the game film here. Three studs, three duds from Sunday against Arizona. Three up, three down is brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. They remind you, Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventive screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, visit massgeneral.org. Because we're late and the three up are always the most boring, give me your three up, your three stars, one, two, three, all at once, and maybe a comment. Go ahead, Greg.
Adam Butler, Chase Winovich, Lawrence Guy. I thought they were great up front. They affected the game. Butler, the Cardinals have a bit of a weak defensive line, so I think that elevated these guys a little bit. But I thought they all did a great job about controlling the game up front, which, you know, was the focal point of this game. They couldn't let Murray, who, you know, in my opinion, he was obviously compromised in terms of the shoulder, and that they did not want to run him very much on designed runs. They didn't want to let him loose, but the Patriots certainly did a nice job with their plan for keeping him in the pocket.
Okay, and you said it's a weak Arizona offensive line. I think you said real quick on Winovich. You don't think they're on? You don't think Winovich has a chance? You still put him in the undecided category, Greg?
No, I think he has a chance. I think it comes back to, is he Bill's type of player long term? I mean, I think he's a good player. Only Bill can answer that. I just don't know how. I don't know what his ceiling is. Like, I think he's a good player long term. Is he? You know, I think the hope is that he's somebody like T.J. Watt that can affect the game and be somebody that a defensive coordinator has to game plan around. I'm just not sure of that. I'm not going to completely rule it out, but I just think about, you know, the good that you get from him this season. I think that's about his ceiling, in my opinion.
Sorry, Mass. Go ahead.
Just quickly, Adam Butler was dominant. He was number one. Juwan Bentley and Nick Folkatieri. Money's on the line, baby. Kick it through.
Okay, give me your three duds. Give me two, one, two, three, and we'll pick them apart. Go ahead.
Cam Newton. He was awful in this game. I mean, to the point where, you know, they were trying to avoid down the stretch. And actually, you know, at the time of the Cam Newton run and then the personal foul penalty on Simmons, Belichick was probably in his headset talking to Ernie Adams, like, you know, what are we doing overtime? Do we kick the ball? If we win the toss, do we kick? Do we play offense? Like, what are we going to do? I mean, he was that bad where they were completely managing him down the field, and that's sort of where they are on offense right now.
Greg, which is why I'm curious why you got so hot and bothered defending him the last segment. But let's put that aside for a second. Who's two
I
and three on
wasn't defending him last segment.
You were. Who are the two or three?
Crying out loud. I was just telling you.
Number two and three.
Anyways,
Pekela.
You want all three?
Yeah.
N'Keal Harry. It's time to move him to tight end. The wide receiver thing is over. He can't even block good enough, let alone, you know, catch the ball over the middle or anything like that. And then my third one was, and this is a little bit unfair because he was slow getting up after every play, and it looks like he's battling through something. Jakob Johnson at fullback. He was not good in this game.
Okay, Maz, who are your three duds?
Cam Newton, N'Keal Harry, Stephon Gilmore. I didn't think Gilmore was great in this game. I thought DeAndre Hopkins got the better of him.
Okay, soft on a couple of plays where I thought he should have been. There are a couple of easy third down conversions. Let's just put it like this, where I thought Gilmore should have been playing the sticks as opposed to, you know, protecting against getting beaten deep. That being said, N'Keal Harry, Maz, give me a thought on N'Keal Harry.
Okay, again, he was involved in two plays yesterday or Sunday, minus 12, 10-yard penalty and a negative 2 run. That was it. In the last two games, he's a plus 4 in yardage. He's got 35 yards in penalties and 39 in gains. it blows me away that you got to do, Greg, you know your good plays, bad plays, plus plays, yeah, minus plays. You got to do that for yards with N'Keal Harry now. That's what you have to do. You got to do it with yardage, because the last 2 weeks is 39 yards in the plus column, 35 in the minus. That's a plus 4, which I call even.
I'll add to your stat, Maz. You can also add a minus 8. Because he didn't seal the edge when Damian Harris lost 8 yards on that run. That was Harry and Bird's fault.
I like it. I'm sold. Minus 20.
The N'Keal Harry draft pick. Every time you watch games across the league, especially a game like last night, it hurts even more if you're a Patriots fan. So let's pick that up on the other side with your phone calls. I promise, don't go anywhere.
Felger Maz.
Mass.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger, Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wilson puts some air underneath it, right to Metcalf.
Lines up in the slot and runs what they call the slot fade. And Darius Slay plays this perfect. And DK just muscles the ball away from him. There's nothing you can do with that. I mean, Darius Slay plays that textbook. Doesn't look back, plays the eyes and hands, has his ball, has his hand on the football.
So that, DK Metcalf last night, I'm not sure exactly what that was, but Maz, you watched DK Metcalf last night, and what's your takeaway?
I mean, I just, to me, the Patriots aren't going to live this one down. This is one that's going to haunt them for a long, long time. And Metcalf now leads the league in receiving yardage. It's his second year in the league. I think he has 19 touchdowns over the last 2 years. He really started to blossom at the end of last season. And aside from all the numbers, okay, aside from all the numbers, oh boy, does he love to play. When you watch him, he's a baller. This guy is a man on the field. And so just as an exercise, okay, I want to go back to all the draft previews in 2019 at wide receiver. At least as an approach to draft, DK Metcalf jumped at the combine because he blew everybody out of the water at the combine. And he had had an injury in his final year of college. And so there was a little bit of a question there physically with him, which may or may not have led to him sliding down the board. At the end of the day, DK Metcalf didn't go to the end of the second round. So everybody in the league passed on him. Okay, everybody, including, by the way, Seattle, which could have taken him in the first round, but they got him in the second. That aside, many of the draft prognosticators had Metcalf listed as the best wide receiver coming out that year in the field. Now, there were questions, I'm not telling you, but he was, by a lot of people, projected as the best receiver in the field. He didn't end up going until the ninth receiver. He was the ninth receiver taken. The Patriots took the second receiver off the board and took N'Keal Harry, which they will never, ever live down, particularly given the fact that they wanted a red zone target. That was the primary need for going after Harry, and this guy's bigger and faster than Harry. And just quickly as an exercise, because we talked about this yesterday, here were the first five receivers taken in the draft. Okay, these are the first five. Marquise Brown with the Ravens, Hollywood Brown, Harry, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown with the Titans, Mecole Hardman with Kansas City. Which one of those guys can't play?
Yours.
N'Keal Harry.
I mean, they really, four out of the five can play. And then if you go to the next five, J.J., and I'm going to mispronounce it, Greg, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
Yeah, with the Eagles.
Okay, yep. Paris Campbell with the Colts. Neither one of those guys has done much. Andy Isabella with the Cardinals. Nah, so-so, but he plays. Metcalf and Deontay Johnson with the Steelers, who's also making contribution. If you add them all up, seven out of the top 10 are making a contribution and having an impact in the league. And number nine, Metcalf, is the best of the lot. When you look at that group, the Patriots had a 70% chance to hit with a receiver in those picks. In those top 10 receivers, they had a 70% chance. They missed. And they had the second pick of receivers in that group, and they missed. To me, they are never going to live this down.
How'd they miss so bad, Greg?
Well, I don't really blame them on Brown. I mean, because I do think, you know, whether it was Metcalf, Brown is different. Brown had a higher sort of opinion, according to the scouts. Metcalf, you know, a lot of people missed on him. A lot of people didn't see what was underneath, that he's really a hard worker. It didn't show up on film. And you're starting to see this more and more with guys. And sort of in the offseason, I need to take a look at this. Like, you know, how much it seems like players, offensive players, are transcending the scheme that they played in college quicker in the NFL. And I mean that by, and it also folds into the Justin Herbert conversation, because Herbert has been way better than what he showed at Oregon. And I think Metcalf is similar. You know, I think he was at Ole Miss, and it's getting tougher and tougher to project these guys to the pros in terms of what they're running in college. And so You know, I think that's that, certainly on Metcalf. I think, you know, a lot of people missed on him.
Here's what I'm sorry. That big Jim, did you have a thought?
Yeah, he is a joy to watch. If you watch that last night or any just highlights of Metcalf, he's a, as you wrote it in the email, he's a specimen. He's an absolute freak. You could chuck up 50-50 balls to the guy and he's literally coming down with it more than half the time. I just don't understand how overall Bill Belichick can be so bad at identifying talent at that particular position.
Yeah, and Mike, I'm sorry. I know we have a little bit of a delay. Just Russell Wilson has already said that he thinks this kid's going to be one of the greatest receivers in the history of the league. He's already come out and said that. And there was a play last night. It was in the first series, I think. He got absolutely freaking drilled going over the middle. Not only did he hold on to the ball, he stayed on his feet and picked up another 5 yards. It was unbelievable.
So here's what I blame Bill for on top of everything. I mean, look, the fact that he can't identify talent there is a big problem. But it feels to me like he misses on another thing at that position that should be easier for him. It goes beyond talent. And I'm talking about compete. I'm talking about, you know, when I watch Metcalf play, it's sort of obvious. You know, he wants contact, as Maz just described, like the compete and the toughness. When I watched Deebo Samuel, that game that Deebo Samuel came here, he was trucking your defensive backs and laughing in their faces. All right, I watch A.J. Brown. There's a physical compete, like that thing. So if Bill has a blind spot in terms of evaluating the talent, okay, that's one thing. The draft's a tough business. Like, I get it. Shouldn't he be able to identify the guys that compete? And the guy that he drafts lines up against defensive backs that are 40 pounds lighter than him, and he goes down, you know, without any sort of effort, Maz. And I don't feel like the compete is there, or even the sort of I feel like Harry doesn't know how to play the game. Like, he has no football sense, Greg. So compete level, football sense, like, I would think that Bill would at least get that part right.
Yeah, you know, one thing on that, Mike, when I think about the receivers that the Patriots have brought in over the years, I mean, first of all, I mean, the number one thing you have to say is not only could they not play here, but they couldn't play anywhere else in this league. So there's obviously a talent disparity, and you think that Belichick, as a defensive guy, would say, man, that guy would be really tough to defend. But, you know, even the guys that they do draft and bring in here, like, they all seem to be, and I understood this when Tom was here. Maybe it was this offseason, and you know, they don't really have a rookie, so to speak, among this wide receiver group. But when at least when Brady was here, it just seemed like all the receivers came in and sort of pussyfooted around. Like, they were afraid of Tom. They were afraid to make a mistake. They were afraid if they do something wrong, they're not going to get on the field. Where I do think there's something to other schemes around the league allow players to play faster, quicker, without the fear of making mistakes. Maybe other teams are more tolerant, you know, maybe that hurts them in the end, what have you. But I just feel like it's been a tough atmosphere overall for wide receivers here. But then again, you could just say they draft crappy receivers because they can't play anywhere.
Okay, well, as we all know, Bill did not believe in DK Metcalf, really didn't believe in DK Metcalf coming out of college. It's not just that he missed at him or didn't see him, like a lot of teams didn't see what was in DK Metcalf. It felt like Bill Belichick's feelings about DK Metcalf were violent. He was violently opposed to DK Metcalf, and we know that because of the commentary of Michael Lombardi going into that draft. So you'll hear that coming back off the top of the hour, and then I promise, right to your phones. No commercials here, just a quick update, and the Bobo speaks about DK Metcalf a couple of years ago. Don't go anywhere.